The demigods were related to Vishwarupa from his father's side, and therefore he visibly offered clarified butter in the fire while chanting mantras such as Indraya Idam Swaha. This is meant for King Indra, and Idam Agnaya. This is for the demigod of fire. He loudly chanted these mantras and offered each of the demigods his proper share. Can you say repeat? Om Maharaj Pariksit.
Om Maharaj Pariksit.
The demigods were related to Visharupa. From his father's side. And therefore, he visibly, of clarified butter, in the fire, while chanting mantras such as, Indrayanam
Swaha.
This is meant for King Indra. And
Idam Agnaya.
This is for the demigod of fire.
He
loudly chanted these mantras. And offered each of the demigods. His proper share. Although offering clarified bird in the sacrificial fire in the name of the demigods, without the knowledge of the demigods, he also offered oblations to the demons, because they were his relatives through his mother. In the sacrificial fire,
in the name of the demigods,
without the knowledge of the demigods, he also offered oblations.
To the demons,
because they were his relatives. Through his mother. Because of Vishnu's affection for the families of both the demigods and the demons, he appeased the supreme lord on behalf of both the dynasties. When he offered oblations in the fire on behalf of the Asuras, he did so secretly, without the knowledge of the demigods. Yesterday we read in the lecture also that, that because of King Indra, actually he had been disrespectful to his Guru Maharaj, Brihaspati. For this reason, actually because of his neglect, his neglecting to give respect to his Guru answered by also neglecting him. He went away and he didn't give him any attention. So Indra was understanding that he had made a big offense, and he also understood that his power was actually coming from actually his Guru Maharaj, Brihaspati. Like yesterday it was said that the Guru or the priest, he is the connection between the spiritual world and the mature world. He is an intermediate representative. So in Indra, he was feeling also like, I've lost the mercy, and by this I have also lost the strength So it's very important, this connection between guru and disciple and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But unfortunate for King Indra was that also the demons, although they are demonic, they also understood this point, because he has offended his spiritual master and he has lost the protection of his spiritual master, who is a very powerful personality. So now we can make have some chance to conquer Indra, because the demons, they always want to be lording over, and that is the nature of the demonic mentality. They want to be in power, therefore they are demons, because they refute actually the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by doing so, there's a special word I cannot. It's when people don't accept the authority of the king or of the government, they are rebels.
Anarchy.
And they are anarchists.
Renegades.
Yeah. Renegades or anarchists. Yeah, so they refute the authority of the Lord and they want to be themselves the controller. So this is the problem in the mature world. And therefore, in one sense, also the soul, he comes to the mature world because he refutes the power, the position of the Lord, and he rebels against them. That the Lord is the supreme authority and we have to surrender to. So this is a demonic mentality. Yeah. So and therefore the demons are always out of taking control. While the demigods, you see, they are learned to depend on Lord Vishnu. And yeah, they know we are not in control. Lord Vishnu is the supreme controller. So therefore in all the mantras and yajnas, also Lord Vishnu is always being mentioned. So they always remember that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we have to recognize him in all dealings what we are doing. And so there's also described in the Bhagavad Gita in that verse, the demonic and the divine, and we see that this, how demons are thinking. So the demons, they understood now King Indra is without his power and his backup. So now we have a chance to get conquer Indra. So what they did, they attacked the kingdom of Indra. And Indra, he was feeling weak because he understood, actually, I have no mercy anymore. So what to do? So they fled away out of fear. And sometimes it's even by the mind. So it's not that maybe they had fight, they had conquer, but mentally they felt weakened. Because Indra had lost the mercy. So after that, So because of the intoxication of King Indra, he made the wrong choice. He made the wrong choice not to give respect to his spiritual master because he was intoxicated. Yeah. And most of the time when people are intoxicated, they cannot make right decisions. Yeah. They start to drive on the left side of the road instead of the right side, and they have no feeling of how they're speeding in the car. They're speeding too much. They even drive to red lights. They cannot even differentiate between red and green sometimes. We are drunk. So King Indra, also because of his intoxication, he could not make the right decision. When his spiritual master came inside, he didn't make the right decision. He made the decision to stay on his throne and let it be glorified by the damsels and the heavenly damsels. So because of this wrong choice, he got in so much problems. You can see. So he was conquered. Then he had to do all kinds of things to get the kingdom back. So they went to Lord Brahma and they got advice to get Vishwarupa as their guru. And Vishwarupa, he was His mother was coming from the Daityas, from the demons, and his father was from the demigods. So there was a mixture that we spoke yesterday. There was a mixed up relationship there. So then this Vishwarup, his mother was a Daitya, and it said that the son is always more going towards the mother, and the daughter is going towards the father, tends towards going to the father. It's not absolute, but in most cases it's like that. So Vishwarup, he maintained an attachment towards his mother. And because of this, actually, he could not withstand also to take side of both his father's side, the demons, and his mother's side, the demons, and his father's side, the demigods. So then the whole thing becomes more mixed up, confused, because he is doing it without noticing, without giving notice to the demigods. He is probably in his mind, he's chanting mantras in favor of the demons. But King Indra, he is a very powerful person, so he's also very intelligent, although sometimes we see that he's not making the right choices, but still he is not for nothing a King Indra. It said that you can become an Indra when you do 100 horse sacrifices. So in order to do 100 horse sacrifices, you have to have some intelligence. You have to be practical. You have to have practical intelligence. And that is the word prakriti. Prakriti means matter, material. And prakriti means the material world. And in Dutch, they say somebody who is practical, practical, who knows how to deal with matter. And they call him praktis. So he means he's very up to how to deal with the matter. So King Indra has also had some highly mature intelligence, and by this he became Indra. So by his intelligence he understood, and probably he had already some feeling before. Sometimes you come down from a person. Like in the battle of Kurukshetra, Duryodhana, he was very doubtful about Bhishma. Remember, he said, I know you are our chief general, but I know you have some attachment to the Pandavas. So he put his doubt forward. And so I don't trust you fully. And so Indra probably also he had understood that this man is not proper, he is a mixture. But he accepted it. And he, on the order of Lord Brahman, and Brahman advised him. So, on the advice of Lord Brahman, he accepted his Vishwarup as his spiritual master. And as the priest for doing the yajnas. But in the end we see is that you can say it goes wrong because he's doing his mantras for the demons. But still, because he is following the authority of Lord Brahman, he's following the authority of Lord Brahman, and in the end, everything goes well. So it's like that sometimes you get from the guru instructions, and in the beginning it seems, why he is saying this to me, What I have to do? Why I have to do this? And you see, it goes all wrong. It doesn't work out, I think, like Guru Maharaj said, actually, he made some mistake. Actually, he is a very nice man, but he made some mistake. So Indra was also thinking, I followed Lord Brahma, but now this man is cheating us, He's giving some benefits to the demons. But you see that in the ultimate end, it all works out nicely. Once I remember that there were some problems with some Swami, and in the beginning, he was a very powerful personality, and he was taking too much control, and some persons, they got disturbed from temple presidents, and probably he made a decision, and he said that you go to this country, You disturb me here too much. You are so you go to that country. And but he was very successful in what he was doing, and he could not understand why my spiritual master is sending me away. If you tell the president, they are complaining, and he's taking side of this. Of this temple president, why he is not trusting me, and I have such a good results. Yeah. But then in the end, when he was following that instruction, he became so successful, and he became even more famous by this. Yeah. So then when he came back from that country, he made there a lot of disciples. So, and when Prabhupada came, he let them, each of them let, given him a rose. And then Prabhupada said to him, you understand now why I sent you there? But in the beginning he couldn't understand.
Just one detail is wrong there. That giving of the roses, that was done by the Radha Damodar men, not the devotees from China.
Oh, okay, I was thinking that they did it. Would you say, because I read another way. But okay, but then it came out that he was very successful by following his spiritual master. So he made a good choice. So Indra, he made also a good choice, although it seems, but he was following Lord Brahma, and it came out very nicely. So I think the Srimad Bhagavatam, we can have different things from the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's like we can have a message from the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's giving us messages. Yeah? And also it gives us teachings. Yeah? And the message is actually that we better surrender to Krishna, and then everything becomes successful. And the teaching is how to put it in practice, how to surrender to Krishna. Yeah? So I know from quite when I was a brahmachari, I was always coming for Guru, and I was always praying, please let me become a preacher. Yeah. And because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the one who teaches this knowledge to my devotees is most dear to me. So we want to become most dear to Krishna. And so I was always praying, please make me a teacher, a preacher. But a preacher is a teacher. He preached by example, that's good. So, but this, to be a teacher of Krishna consciousness is not so easy. It's quite a high standard to become a teacher. A teacher means also like his acharya, he has to put in practice what he is preaching. So, then I was thinking maybe, short while ago, maybe it's a little high for me. So let me be a messenger. To just give out a message. Yeah? Because that is more easy. Yeah? So and then people can take the message so they can take note and I can practice as good as I can. Yeah? But not put my forth as a teacher. Yeah? Because I feel not to be qualified. But as a messenger to give. And I think when we approach people on the street or so, not I come to teach you something. Yeah, no, you know, we have a message for you. Yeah? And Christians, they know already this principle. Huh? They say good news. Yeah? I, by the grace of Mataji in Antwerp, I receive every month a magazine from America, the good news. Christian newspaper, they got all kinds of political and social issues. But they go to the news. Yeah. So in one sense also we have good news. Yeah. You can go back to Godhead. And there's a way to get out of this material world. Yeah. It's not a hopeless situation. Yeah. We have a remedy. And we have the good news. Yeah. And so you read it, you read Bhagavad Gita, and then Krishna, he's giving, you know, this chance. He say, come to the spiritual world, come back to Godhead. And then when they read Bhagavad Gita, then they see, you need a teacher, yeah? It's good to have a teacher to teach you this process of how to put this in practice so that you can go back to Godhead. So ISKCON is also providing the teachers, the preachers, the teachers, and the messengers, the Sangitam devotees. They go out and distribute the books, distribute the message. So in this way, it's a complete program, Krishna Consciousness. So what is very important is the message I got from what I read to now is actually that that it's very important to make the right choices in life. That is, I see the message that I get from this speech. That every moment we have to make choices. So if I said, I just try to get some time here, but then I saw there was a hole in my sock. So I was thinking, I can either sit here with this feet, either everybody see this hole, or I go back and put on the other socks and come a little late. So I made that choice to go back to put on another sock. But there's a simple choice. But sometimes choices can affect your whole life. This one, the wrong choice, and you're finished. Or one good choice, and it goes for the wind. And the whole Bhagavad Gita is actually based on this principle. Because Arjuna, he was standing for a choice. He was there, he was in the middle of the armies, and suddenly he realized that he had no choice in that. He was standing there, and then he sees his teachers, his uncle, nephews, all kinds of family members. And then suddenly he realized, what I'm doing here, I didn't know that I didn't realize really that I had to kill my teacher, my Dronacharya, my teacher, Bhishma, my uncle, who is such a beloved person, who have always protected us, and my nephews. And then he was standing for that choice. And he got confused. He didn't know what to do. He got confused. And then he said to Krishna, Sishastyam Sadhanam, and from Bhagavan. Now, from this moment, I'm your Sisha, because I'm confused. I don't know what to do. You tell me. So, and then Krishna actually, he started to help Arjuna to make the choice. Because he had the choice. Either to go away into the forest. But the Krishna said, this is the result. If you do this, this will be the result. If you do that choice, then that will be the result. And so Krishna explained everything. What was his duty, and what he had to do, and if he did not do his duty, he chose for not doing his duty, then that was the result, and if he chose for doing his duty, then that was the result. So, and then Krishna, Arjuna, at the end, in the Gita, he said, thank you very much, Krishna, you have cleared up my mind, and now I know what to do. I was confused. But now I exactly know what I have to do. I fight for you. And that is also what Krishna says on the end of the Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharma parityajam amekam saranam dharyam ahantam sarva paramyo mukshari shami masucha. So you choose for me, because that is the best. That is the highest dharma. So if you want to know what is your duty, this is the highest duty of the soul. To surrender. So Bhagavad Gita is actually also for us. So Krishna said, this is this. Every time you can read by when Krishna said Arjuna, you can read Prasanatma, or Krishna Gopal. Krishna Gopal, and then Arjuna, do this, and Krishna Gopal, you do this. You can take it literally on your name. And then Krishna hopes at the end of the Bhagavad Gita that you say, okay, Krishna, I will fight for you. Because that is what we have to do. We have to fight for Krishna. What is the name of this guru from South Africa? I forgot his name. He died. Bhaktivedanta Swami. He wrote this book, Transcendental Warrior. But what Krishna says also, I have come, to establish religion, to protect the devotees and kill the demons. So that is what Krishna comes to do. So if we want to fight for Krishna, that is our mission. We have the same mission. Paritana is sarma, finansia, absolutism, dharma, samsatana, samapam in the way. A life after life, yuga after yuga. This is our mission. And to kill the demons, either, let's say now, by books, by knowledge, and protect the devotees who are there, and help the devotees to get liberated from their conditioning. And establish religious principles. So there is a choice when we choose to fight for Krishna or to not fight. But Krishna said to Arjuna, you cannot spend here in the middle, you cannot stay here, because then you disturb the fight. Are you fighting or you don't fight? Yeah, not your disturbance, you walk in the way with your chariot. You go either you go forward or you go to the back knees. And so he said that. So 2 days ago I was chanting by a rock in the Marvel name, Debris, by this rock. Many people know when this there are these fishes. And I went to the Urdu. And I saw the Ubud, I saw it was streaming. But I walked there to chant, and then I saw a little can. It's like a little boat. So I pushed it with my stick in the water. And then he was hobbling, and there was some stream. But then he got into a side place, and there was not so much streaming. It was a little bit like where the stream was not going. You know this place, and it's like in a hole, then the stream is not going there so well. And I was thinking that this is actually Krishna conscious. Either you can be in the mainstream, you make quick advancement, because when you are in the stream, then it goes very quick. But when the tin gets out of its way, you get in the side stream, then it goes very slowly. And there's even a danger that he get that short and he will not move anymore. So I was thinking, this is like Krishna consciousness. We can, by seeing that we should try to be in the mainstream, to be in they say in the fire, because when you're in fire, it's the most fire. And then they're at the same place. You know how the mind is working. At the same place, you have a little fall, it goes like this. And then at the end of the fall, there are fishes there. And because there's a lot of oxygen, they stay in there, to get some extra oxygen. And these fish are moving there, they go very fast. Because they have extra oxygen there in the stream. And with the other fishes, they just slowly go around. But you see, the fish who has more oxygen, he goes faster, he's more movable. And so there's also the same principle. If you are in the movement, you're in the mainstream, and get more oxygen, you can. So sometimes we get a little bit diverted in Krishna consciousness, we become a little bit on the outskirts. And sometimes it's not even your choice, sometimes you're forced by what is it?
Providence.
You're forced to be, and then you feel not so nice, but actually, I should be in the stream, I should get back as quick as possible in stream. And we see there from the sannyasi, they have the color of fire. So they are supposed to be the most fired up, And also the brahmacharis, they should have the most energy. And then the vyasa sometimes they can also be because they can also be in the stream. And because in the stream there's also anybody can be there, but the tendency is for the vyasas to go a little to the side, and they go a little slower, but they should be very careful not to ground to the that they don't move anymore. I was especially thinking about that because we change residence, and you get so much involved in the material things to change all the matter you have accumulated. Yes, you have to put in another house. And then you get so much busy with this matter, and in a new house you have to put new curtains and paint it, and it's such a moderation. And a distraction actually from... But it's problems, we cannot stop it, because the household is selling his house. So sometimes it goes like this. Yeah. But we should always desire, you know, the desire should be to be in the stream, to be in the... and to associate. Now, therefore, it's really nice Radhades, because in Radhades there's always good association. And there's a mainstream. Yeah, so also, it's very important for devotees, Riyasas, to live outside. There's not so much association that they come to Radhades to meet very inspired devotees, sannyasis. One time I give an example to Dhanananda Swami. He liked that example. I came in about 9 years ago, and that the world is like a body, you know, and India is like the heart of the body, and it has also a form of a heart. So, and the heart concept is the source of all energies that they know. That, so, and the heart, the blood is going to the heart, and takes the energy from the red blood cells, and it brings the energy through the whole body. And then again comes back to the heart. I said this is like the sannyasis, you know. They are the red blood cells, so we have energy to the movement. And they go to the world to preach, and then at a certain time every year they go back to India to serve church. Yeah? And then they go back into the world to go to the different centers and to give their energy. And so in that way when the sannyasis come in, then they are like, you know, the red blood cells will give the Shakti the power. And that is good to have this traveling sannyasis to preach to us. So it's always very nice to be here when there's a sannyasis and preachers. Huh? And then you see the devotees get fired up. The sannyasis, they're fired up and they're ecstatic. And you know, if you see Pitamakana Swami, I don't know where he gets his energy from. But at least for hours he is chanting Hare Krishna. Yeah. And I think I'm hoping that he's never get tired. And then when you speak to him, and say, Amaras, how is it? Yeah, I'm playing here, I'm dead there. But then he has more energy than anybody else.
Yeah.
Huh? So it's very important to be in that flow. And there's also a choice. Because you read in the Ramadesh manual of monthly magazine, you read this sannyasi is there, this festival is there. So you can make a choice. I have to go to the festival or to go to another festival, a rock festival, or a house party, or we can make these choices. And what is very important is because the Bhagavatam is giving precedence of persons who have made wrong choices, who have made good choices. And we can learn from that. Yeah. And there's also the Mahajans. The Mahajans, and they are the ones who know what is Dharma and who know where to make this choice or where to make that choice. Because it's not easy. I said, it's also not, sometimes you, by providence you make a wrong mistake or you choose something wrong. See, by the Mahajans, and they know what is Dharma and they know on which time, in which place, and where, which circumstance we have to choose with it or we have to choose with that. And so, and by example, by the precedence the Mahajans set, we can learn. So this is also like the teaching of the Bhagavatam. And we have to follow the footsteps of the Mahajans, see what they are choosing. And so Bhishma, you know, he chose to fight on the side of Duryodhana. We say it's wrong because Duryodhana was a demon, you know. But he was forced by providence, he was forced in that situation. But you can see, but because he is a Mahajan, yeah, ultimately his choice becomes okay, because actually while he is leaving his body, he is looking to Krishna, and he is completely Krishna conscious. And actually he is following his Dharma. He has followed his Dharma. So that's why we have different Mahajans. Yudhishthira, yeah, he's the son of Dharmaraj. Yeah, he also was very not knowing how to deal with situation. So this was what you get what the message I take, that we have to be very careful in our choices. And because there's sometimes some choice can make you, some small choice can make you in big trouble. Okay, I'll stop in. Maybe there are some commentaries or questions. Yes, from.
Thank you for a very nice question. I was wondering, because you said according to your choice, if you do a wrong choice, you can be lost forever. Somehow, did you say something?
Not like that, okay.
So I was wondering, because to me, it's, you have always a choice to take a Krishna consciousness or to take a good choice.
Yeah, no, it's always there.
Okay, so can you maybe explain a bit about this? Yeah, because you say it's, if you do wrong choice, you're just, you can be just lost for your life. But to me, it's like, you know?
Sometimes for lifetimes, if you make a wrong choice, then you can hang up for lifetimes on a wrong choice. For millions of lifetimes, or billions of lifetimes, like the point that we are here, since time immemorial is not by accident, and we don't believe in accidents or tupal.
Coincidence.
We don't believe in that. It has some reason. So the devotees are reason. They can know how to reason. So what is the reason why we are here? So the reason is being put in the scriptures. And somewhere, and one way or another, Lajitani said, we have fallen in this ocean into, but we know that we are conscious living entities. We are not like the leaf who is taking a scent, a book of scent, and throws away somewhere. No, we are conscious living beings. And it said in the scriptures that Krishna is one, but because he wants to expand his enjoyment, he expands himself into many. Eko Bhavasham, Krishna is one. But he won't expand his enjoyment, so he expands himself in unlimited living beings. But not robots, but conscious parts of him. And consciousness means also, it implicates choice, willpower. I want to do this, I want to do that. What I do want to do now, shall I want to do this or shall I want to do this? It's choice. So it's not by accident that you come here, it is by choice. We should accept that from the scripture. It's our own choice that we came here, but such a long time ago that we cannot remember anymore. But then from the scripture, he said, you don't remember, but we remember. And then it's up to acceptance. Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa. That I'm the sinner. Not that God is the wrongdoer. And you accept that I'm the wrongdoer. Bekende van zonde.
Confessional
sin. So, the purification of the soul can only start when he accepts that I am the wrongdoer. And start to stop with pointing out to others, it is your fault. And ultimately, many people, they say, it's God's fault. Mm-hmm. Why he created me? I didn't want it. So it's actually an offense. But Krishna, he wants to give everything, he wants to share everything what he has with us. His putting us in existence is just an act of love. He looks for something to give to. I want to give my love. I want him to have an object. And what we became one of his objects of love. So, and he gives such a treasure, and if we read the scriptures, we get so much benefit from being Krishna's servant. Like what Prabhupada said here yesterday, from that was the story, that they work very hard, and we have tons, we have 1 ton of sugar, we have 1 ton of grain, we have 1 ton of this one, and the body, actually because Krishna, he's not a poor man, Prabhupada said. So if you realize that you are the son of Krishna, and you accept that I'm the son of Krishna, and you put yourself in the place of a son, dependent on the father, then Krishna, he feels himself a father, and he will take care of you. Pāyīmam, pāyīmam, rakṣamam, rakṣamam. Please maintain me, please protect me, Lajitāya prays. So it is all acceptance. And we have the choice either to accept our position or not only yet. And Krishna, he said in Bhagavad Gita, he made clear that if you reject me, that this is the result. You become miserable. If you accept what I am saying, you become glorious. So what is your choice? So one point you have to make the choice to come here. And how long ago is that? So you're bounded by this choice for millions of lifetimes. But you become so wise that when you once go back to Godhead, you never make that wrong choice anymore. Krishna says, he said 3 times in Bhagavad Gita, you will not come back anymore. And once you come to me, you never go, although you have still the free will, but you never make the choice anymore. So that's also an enrichment. That at least you will not fall anymore in eternity. Somebody else can still make a wrong choice, but I will not make the choice anymore. I will not put my hands anymore against this heater, because once I fought, it's very painful. I will not do that anymore. Stay a little bit away from it. So even in the spiritual world, where you will see a glimpse of the material world, you say, oh, going in all the other way here. And so that's I chose. And Manohari asked me, do you want to give the lecture? You see, I'm a little nervous always because the Ramanish, they're always very advanced devotees, and and I was scared that my wife would maybe sit here and you see, but still I said, yeah, I can say yes or no. So I said, okay, and if you by your mercy, I sit here. But like I said, I feel not as a teacher, but just a messenger. So I hope I can stay in Manchester. So
but on the other hand, they say also the scriptures mentioned that you are not the doer. So it's a kind of contradiction. You say we're not the doer, and then you're the wrong doer. We can't be the wrong doer.
Initially, you're the wrong doer. Initially, so you chose on a certain wrong time to go to the wrong place. You go to Bosnia, to the war time, So it's your choice, but you make a choice, and you have not enough knowledge, because some people could already see it, that there's a war coming there, but you are not aware of it. Yugoslavia is a very nice county, nice people, have a nice holiday there. Yeah. And you buy your ticket. Yeah. So it's all choices of you. But then once you are on the airplane, then you're not a doer anymore. But in one sense you are, but in one sense you are not flying. The airplane is flying you. You see, so once you are in the web of Maya, then you are like by the laws of providence and karma, you being like tossed from one side to the other. But the initial choice was yours. And Krishna says, because you have this nice painting there hanging, Krishna says, that's good news. That for you, we make a special arrangement, we land in between. You see, I make a choice, I don't want to Bosnia anymore. So they make a special landing for you. So they get you, say, okay, you can go out here in the rest of the Bosnia. You see? So you, there's Krishna, he's reaching his hand. He said, okay, you can still step out of the airplane now, if you want. Every moment we can step out of the role of karma. Krishna says it, yeah? At the end of the Bhagavad Gita, he said, yeah, leave all dharmas and I will protect you against all your previous karma. Your previous karma have not bring you to the Vaishnava, but I will stop it. But if you're not surrendered, then still you are like, you're not a doer, you are tossed by the waves of Maya. So it's at the moment that you surrender to Krishna, then Krishna, he lifts you up out of it. And sometimes you get lifted up and you become a little bit forgetful and for Krishna, and you start to think it's still very nice, this water, and he lets through your feet put in the water. So. But he holds you. He said, you remember I put you out of? You know? So he gives sometimes the devotees a little problems here and there. So, but not so much that they get overcome. Yeah? So he has got something on his feet and he realized, oh, this body is very miserable. Yeah. And some others, yesterday I saw two people with stitches praying the city. Masala, and then we saw Bhakti also with stitches. I see myself in a stick. I see it because I poke. And then maybe like in 10 years, there's so many sticks going on. Dumb dance and crutches. Okay, we stop here. Thank you very much. Thank you.